37. I invite you to open up your Bible there as well. Our text of our lesson is going to be the first 11 verses there. I encourage you to take out a pencil, piece of paper, and write down notes of the things we got to say. Underline some things maybe in your Bible, write some things in your notes so that you can study this further later and meditate upon it and feed upon it. As we are getting the songs of invitation, finding that passage, let me take this opportunity to welcome all those who are out with us here today. We're certainly glad that you're here. We rejoice to be here today with one another. The psalmist said in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And we certainly are, as we come here and continue to honor and bring glory and worship to God, even at this moment, by preaching and teaching His Word. We here at the Clarksville Church of Christ are only interested in what this sacred volume right here has to say, the Bible. We believe that it is, as it reports to be, the words of God. Jesus one time said, "He that rejects me and receiveth not my words, hath that which judgeth him, for the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day." John 12 and verse 48. And so this morning, as I break forth my lesson, I want to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I've got to say here today, so that God receives the glory in the things that we proclaim, and that we might be edified, and we might know from where it is that we are gathering these things. The Psalms are so full of encouragement and instruction and edification. One of the things that I enjoy, especially on times off or vacations and things, is opening up the book of Psalms and just kind of reading through it. And not just reading through it, but stopping and meditating upon it and thinking and gleaning upon the things that God, through His different psalmist writers, have penned for you and I to read and to think about and to apply to our lives. And Psalms 37 is one of my favorite psalms. And just for time's sake, I'm going to spend the next 19-20 minutes talking about five things from these first 11 verses that you and I can gather. And if we will meditate upon them very earnestly here for just a short period of time, we're going to talk about that, I think all of us will be benefited from that. And so I ask you to turn your attention to Psalms 37 and read along with me the first two verses. Where there to King James, David says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." We see people that are evil and devise evil things in our lives on a daily basis. We see it at work, we see it at school, they cheat, they lie, they just have bad character, and we see them seemingly getting ahead. Sometimes we very angrily, very frustratingly talk to one another. Well, that's kind of how it is that you get ahead. Well, you're dishonest and you cheat. They are praised by those around about them. They're getting raises. They get the good grades. They are popular. And what the psalmist is here, now wait a second. I want you to wait one moment, and I want you to reconsider that for a second. Don't be envious of those people. Don't fret over those people. I love that word, fret. That's something maybe my grandmother would say. Don't fret over those things. Don't worry about those things. Don't meditate and get yourself all to bind in regards to other people doing evil things and seeming to get ahead. Oh, we'll sit around in a stew and say, "Hey, here I am trying to serve God in Clarksville, Indiana, and all the bad folks are the ones that are getting ahead. Maybe I ought to do that." Well, I want you to appreciate what the psalmist goes on to say in verse 15 and 16. He says, "A little that a righteous man has is better." He says, "It is better than many wicked, for they," or that is the wicked, "for their arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord will uphold the righteous." Going on down a little bit further, verse 35, he said, "I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yes, I sought him, but he could not be found." That's the end of the wicked. Oh, it's seemingly that they prosper, but Elijah's message, but that's just for a little time. They are themselves going to be die. They are going to themselves get trapped in their evil ways. Psalm 73, the David talks a little bit about this idea. The psalmist, I should say, talks about this when he says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone astray. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Can you relate to that? I was envious of that, and I almost turned aside, he says. But he said, "Then I thought to know this, and it was too painful for me until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood therein. Surely you set them in similar places. Thou castest them down in destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, and they are utterly consumed with terrors." Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So as we begin here, learning some wisdom from the Psalms, in Psalm 37, don't be desirous to join those when you see and seemingly think that evil and evil men are prospering. But going on in verse 3, the psalmist says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." So, well, I just don't know. Everything I hear and see and read in this world seems to point to the evil as the way to go. People lie and cheat in their jobs and they get prosperity. They take drugs, they smoke, they drink, they go with the crowd, they slough off at work to be liked of men. Really, eat, drink, and be merry, for we'll all die. However, the psalmist warns and he encourages us in verse 25. He says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaking or a seed begging for bread." You want to live in security? You want to know that your way and your future is sure? It's not through evil deeds. It is not through wicked schemes. Oh, they may prosper temporarily, but how quickly they shall be cut off. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," Jesus said, "and all these things shall be added unto you." You and I, he says, do good. You do good and you trust in the Lord. Wise man, again, in Proverbs 3 and 5 said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thy own understanding." You and I here this morning, ladies and gentlemen, are encouraged to trust in the Lord and do good. Notice verse 4, if you will, the Psalms. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart." Delight in the Lord. Enjoy the things that the Lord would have you to do. Delight in that relationship. Delight in coming to worship. Delight in reading the Word. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, choose the things that we love. We choose the way that we go. We choose the things that we watch. We choose the things that we are going to delight in. And the psalmist says, you need to make your delight in the Lord. Isaiah, in Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 13, God there says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and you will call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and you honor him, and not do your own things, nor find things for your own pleasure, nor speak thine own words, then shall thy delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has said it." God says, listen, I want you to delight in the things that I've taught you in this particular context, the Sabbath. Oh my goodness, the Sabbath, are you kidding me? When is the Sabbath going to be over, the people would say, that I might be able to go out and work again and make money and gain more and more? God says, if you will turn away from that, if you don't speak your own words, go after the pleasures of your own self, but you will hear my words and delight my words and honor me, I will feed thee. Malachi 1 and verse 13, talking to the priests of Israel there on that occasion, God says, listen, you all say, oh, what a weariness it is. You ever felt that way? Oh, what a time is. Oh, what a weariness it is to come to worship 3 days a week. What a weariness it is for the elders to be asking me to do a Bible reading. Are you kidding me? What a weariness that is. You and I need to cultivate a delight in the things of the Lord. For if there first be a willing mind, Paul said, is accepted according to a man what he has and not according what he has not. God asked for you to cultivate in your heart a delight for God. I enjoy the things of God. They are not a weariness to me. The psalmist said again in chapter 1, verse 1 beginning, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Listen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law does he meditate upon day and night. What does that man get? I'm glad you asked. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall never wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Delight in the Lord. Notice verses 5 and 6. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Commit thy way to the Lord. That carries with it the idea that we are not going to try to handle all of our troubles by ourselves. I'm going to commit my life and what is going on in my life to God. The psalmist again in chapter 55, 22 said, cast thy cares upon the Lord and he will sustain thee. He shall never suffer his righteous to be moved. Peter said something similar in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 when he said, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Commit thy way to the Lord. Come what may, I've made up my mind. I shall delight in the way of the Lord. I will not try to follow after envy men because I fret and I frown and I'm all upset because it seems that they continue to prosper with all their wicked schemes. I will commit my way to the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing but in everything. Through prayer, supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen to this verse. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I commit my way to the Lord. How freeing. How freeing that is. Will you think about that for a moment? Would you like to lose that stress and the strain that guards your hearts and minds all the time? Always worried, always concerned about the things of this world. Commit your way to the Lord. Let God and let go. This means roll your problems to the Lord. Let him carry them. Take your problems to the Lord and leave it there. We sing a song that says that sometimes, don't we? Take it to the Lord and leave it there. It is so freeing. You ever been on vacation? You have maybe 5 or 6 pieces of luggage you're pulling around. Now you guys are like, huh? No, ladies, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you got one for shoes, right? Carrying them around, trudging around with all that weight. And then you got the bell box and you can just leave it there. Go on. Commit thy way to the Lord. Let God the psalmist goes on, then beginning in verse 7. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Quit being angry. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait on the Lord, they will inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and you will not be able to find him. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Rest in the Lord. That is, we will be well reconciled to all that he does and accept it. For that is best, because it is what God has appointed. I will be well satisfied that he will make all things work together for good for those that love God. That's what Paul said, wasn't it, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Be silent to the Lord, that is his word, not with solemn and submissive silence, but the idea of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Let this cup pass from me. He committed his way to the Lord, but not as I will. Thy will be done. Rest in that. Take your peace in that. That even though you might not know what's going to happen in the future, you know who controls the future and who will give you a future. Rest in the Lord. Jesus said, listen, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Something bad appears, happens to me or my loved ones, or evil, bring evil devices to pass. What do? I rest in the Lord. I wait on the Lord. We studied in our Bible class this morning, Romans 12:17. Do not recompense any man evil for evil. Provide the things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as it lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Vengeance is not mine. You can't take it. You can't take it. So I said, well, I sure can too take it. I went out and I spray painted his car and I punctured his seats. And you felt a whole lot better, right? All the evil, all the hurt was gone, right? Wrong. You can't do things to other people who hurt you so badly to make yourselves feel better. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is God hasn't given that to you. You don't have the ability to take vengeance. God said, vengeance, that's mine. That's my realm. See, you can't take it. No more than you can make the sun come up in the east and set in the west. You see, that's my realm, God says. I can do that. Mark Motham can't do that. I can do that. I'm God. God says, I take vengeance. You don't. I've not given it to you in your purview. Just as a man cannot direct his own steps, you cannot take your own vengeance. Wait and rest on the Lord. The psalmist ends it up in Psalms 37, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And if we've learned these very valuable lessons from Psalms 37, I think our time will have been spent very profitably here this morning. As a wise man by the Spirit of God says, when evil prospers, don't desire to join him. Trust in the Lord to do good. Delight yourselves in the things of God. Commit thy way to the Lord and rest yourselves in the Lord. And again, as I said, if we learn these valuable points here this morning, I think our time will be spent very promptly. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you this morning. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not going to believe the words of our Lord, but he said, go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes I shall be condemned. If you've not done that, we're here ready, willing, and able to help you to make that good confession that you did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and will baptize you for the remission of your sins. We extend the Lord's invitation to you. We sing this song of encouragement. So be so to you. Anyway, come forward now. We stand and sing. The